Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon, Vritrasura. Today's text number 45. It's the last text of the prayers of the demigods. Translation. O Lord, O Supreme Pure, you live within the core of everyone's heart and observe all the desires and activities of the conditioned souls. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet, after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The demigods certainly wanted Lord Vishnu to relieve their anxiety, but now they directly approach Lord Krishna. For although there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu, Krishna descends to this planet in his Vasudeva feature for the purpose of Puritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Cha Duskritam, protecting his devotees and annihilating the miscreants. Demons or atheists always disturb the demigods or devotees, and therefore Krishna descends to punish the atheists and demons and fulfill the desire of his devotees. Krishna, being the original cause of everything, is the supreme person above even Vishnu and Narayan, although there is no difference between these different forms of the Lord. As explained in Brahma Samhita 5.46, Dipa Diparachir Eva Hidashantaram Abhyupetya Dipayate Devrita Hetu Samana Dharma Yastadrigeva hicha Vishnu taya vibhati Govindamadi purushantamaham bhajami. Krishna expands himself as Vishnu, the way a bright candle kindles another. Although there is no difference between the power of one candle and another, Krishna is compared to the original candle. The word Mrista Yashase is significant herein because Krishna is always famous for relieving his devotee from danger. A devotee who has sacrificed everything for the service of Krishna and whose only source of relief is the Lord is known as Akinchana. As expressed in the prayers offered by Queen Kunti, the Lord is Akinchana Vitta, the property of such a devotee. Those who are liberated from the bondage of conditioned life are elevated to the spiritual world, where they achieve five kinds of liberation: Sayujya, Salokya, Sarupya, Sharshti, and Samipya. They personally associate with the Lord in five mellows: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. These rasas are all emanations from Krishna. As described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the original mellow, Adiras, is conjugal love. Krishna is the origin of pure and spiritual conjugal love. So I'll read the text again. O Lord, O Supreme Pure, you live within the core of everyone's heart and observe all the desires and activities of the conditioned soul. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet, after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. So we notice in this verse, and also the previous verse, the Lord is here being addressed directly as Krishna. Although, if you recall, the Lord has appeared before him in a four-handed form, surrounded by an entourage and different personalities and energies. He's appearing to them and being addressed functionally as Super Soul. But here in these last two shlokas, they have directly addressed him as Krishna. Why? Because, as he says here, they are thinking of how Krishna descends. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. He makes special appearances over and above his functioning as Super Soul. He also makes special appearances. He's already here, already present as Super Soul, but still he appears over and over again in different millennia to protect the devotees and to destroy the atheists. This is a special interference of Krishna, which is ultimately his mercy. There's no actual reason for him to personally appear to protect the devotees and to vanquish the atheists. He can do that as Super Soul, unmanifest Super Soul. And he can quite nicely kill all the demons just by, you know, pinching a little blood vessel in their brain. They can all die just like that. There's no problem. But he has his special reasons for appearing also. That is to say, to display his pastimes and to give the devotees some notion of what he's like. We can understand by these appearances something of his biography. Srimad Bhagavatam is simply Krishna's biography, small sample of Krishna's biography, so we can understand how great he is. There's already published some 5 volumes of the life of Winston Churchill. You know, these little bitty people, you'll see, you know, Thomas Jefferson, 8 volumes, all these tiny little living entities who did not do very much, actually. Still, people are slaving away, writing volume after volume of their activities, now in modern times, especially digging up the dirt. So they've attracted attention because they've become a little famous. So how much more is needed for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna is not boring. If he's the supreme everything, then he's supremely interesting. So he can do better than anyone else in any field. So he shows this by his remarkable adventures in incarnation after incarnation. So then we can begin to understand by studying these how great he is. So then we can see there's no comparison. When Krishna is the greatest, we can understand what this means. So we have to introduce Krishna to people. That's why we have so many volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone says, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Krishna, we have to ask him, do you know what it is you don't believe in? Because people say, I don't believe in God, and then you ask him, well, what is your idea of God that you, what is your idea of the God you don't believe in? And then they'll describe something, an old man with a beard, whatever, or a ghost, a disincarnated brain floating somewhere out near Andromeda, you know, somewhere. Well, so I don't believe in that God either. So first understand who Krishna is. So God is great. Here's some sample of how great he is. This is what he does. I've mentioned before, Friedrich Nietzsche said that he's responsible for spreading the idea, that noticing that in Western culture God was dead. He's the one that announced it, the death of God, coming with the news. And but he said, I could believe in a God who could dance. You see? So that idea that God could dance, that he was joyful, frolicsome, not just a stuffy bore, that wasn't an occur to him. So people have very limited idea of God. And because their idea of God is limited, they can deny his existence. Because they do not describe anyone that is all attractive. In fact, who they describe is definitely repulsive. So therefore, they don't want to believe. But we don't believe either in that. So first, understand Krishna. You want to know about God. First, here's his biography, Srimad Bhagavatam. Read Bhagavad Gita, it's the introduction. Then read Srimad Bhagavatam. Then tell us. Now we know who we're talking about when we say the word Krishna. Because Krishna includes all this. Everything you want to understand, you have to understand Krishna. You have to understand what Krishna does. You have to understand his pastimes in Vrindavan. But even before then, you have to understand how with a fragment of himself he maintains and pervades his whole creation, his super soul. So understand him as super soul also. And understand him as the Vishwarup, the universal form. Then also you should understand him as Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. That also you have to know. Then you should understand his Narayan feature in Vaikuntha and how he lives there, surrounded by great opulence and pomp. Then also you should understand the Leela avatars by which he descends this material world and enacts various pastimes in various forms. Then you should also understand him as the guna avatars, and you should also, and so on and so on and so on. And then finally you should understand him as Sri Krishna. Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna in Mathura, and Krishna in Vrindavan. Then having understood all that, then you can tell me whether you believe in him or not. Anyway, this is God. We say God is the greatest. Here is the greatest. Do you know of any description of anybody bigger or better? You tell me why he isn't God. So this is, and this is Krishna. So people have a meager, very meager, impoverished idea of God. And so it's easy to deny him. Very easy. And a lot of times it's malicious. They have a meager idea of God because they want God to be something meager. So then they can deny him. This idea that there's a categorical superior, someone as great as this, I can never make it up to that level. That they won't accept. So anyway, here they're addressing the Lord as Krishna. They understand who Krishna is. And Prabhupada points out from the Brahma Samhita, there's no difference between the different forms of the Lord. although Krishna is the original. So the verse in the Brahma Samhita, it says that Krishna expands. But this is a material example given for our understanding. The way you take an original candle and you light many other candles. So the other candles, they have the same power as the original candle. That's why Prabhupada calls them plenary expansions. Plenary means with full power. Plenary expansions. But Krishna is the original. Ete chamsa kala pumsam Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam. Says in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, a list of all the different incarnations of God has been given. And then Shukadeva Goswami says, but these are kalas and amshas. These are, kala means limbs and amsha means limb of a limb. Expansion or expansion of expansion. Ete cha amsha kala pumsam. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna himself is Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Now this is a verse that explains the position of Krishna as Bhagavan Swayam. He is not an expansion or an expansion, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This is only one verse that is stated like this. So Goswamis have analyzed this verse and put it in the category of a Mahavakya, a central text. Because you will also see that there are other, either Hindus or maybe other Vaishnava groups that think of Krishna as an incarnation of Vishnu. And so there's this idea that he's Bhagavan Swayam. But it's established more than just on one text in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's also supported by the whole structure of Bhagavatam, which leads up and describes, and spends most of the time describing the incarnation of Krishna. And also by analytical study, it is seen that Krishna is actually higher. Because he has features that the others don't have. And in his pastimes, he does everything that all the other forms of Vishnu Tattva do, but then he has some special. This is analyzed in Nectar of Devotion, where Krishna is said to have 64 qualities. First of all, there's a list of 50 qualities. And these qualities are shared by all living entities. And if you take 50 and you divide by 64, you get a percentage. What is it? I don't remember. 87%? Pretty good at mathematics. We all have calculators now. Nobody can think anymore. Anyway, that's what it means when it says the living entities have such and such a percent of the qualities of Krishna. That means they have 50/64, whatever that is, Krishna's qualities. They can share it. That is when they become pure. He has them in full. But they're in the living entity partial. These qualities are beautiful features of the entire body, marked with all auspicious characteristics, extremely pleasing, effulgent, strong, ever youthful, wonderful linguist, truthful, talks pleasingly, fluent, highly learned, highly intelligent, a genius, artistic, extremely clever, expert, grateful, firmly determined, an expert judge of time and circumstances, sees and speaks in the authority of Vedas or scriptures, pure, self-controlled, steadfast, forbearing, forgiving, grave, self-satisfied, possessing equilibrium, magnanimous, religious, heroic, compassionate, respectful, gentle, liberal, shy, the protector of surrendered souls, happy, the well-wisher of devotees, controlled by love, all auspicious, most powerful, all famous, popular, partial to devotees, very attractive to all women, all worshipable, all opulent, all honorable, and the supreme controller. He has these 50 transcendental qualities in fullness as deep as the ocean. As parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the individual living entities can also possess all of these qualities in minute quantities. So when it says the Supreme Controller, you can only be the Supreme Controller of your office staff or your dogs or something. Somewhere you can be the Supreme Controller. You and three postal clerks, and you're the controller. So so in a minute way, you can be like this. But provided they become pure devotees of the Lord, they only all become manifest if one becomes a pure devotee. So actually, these 50 qualities, they're shared by pure devotees. In other words, all of the above transcendental qualities can be present in the devotees in minute quantity, whereas the qualities in fullness are always present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the first list of 50. Then, he says, besides this, there's five more that Krishna possesses and also in part of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. They are as follows: changeless, all cognizant, ever fresh, Satchit-Ananda, possessing an eternal blissful body and possessing all mystic perfections. So these are shared with Brahma and Shiva. Then it says Krishna all possesses five other qualities. Now these are shared in by Narayana, the other Vishnu tattvas only. Shiva and Brahma do not have these qualities. He has inconceivable potency. Uncountable universes generate from his body. He is the original source of all incarnations. He is the giver of salvation to the enemies whom he kills. And he is the attractor of liberated souls. So you get up to 60 sixty-fourths. And then there's finally four attributes that Krishna himself possesses, which are not possessed at all by the other Vishnu expansions. So because by analytical study you can see that Krishna has these further features, that means that he's higher than the others. He is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes. He is surrounded by devotees endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. He can attract all living entities all over the universes by playing on his flute. And he has a wonderful excellence of beauty which cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. So although it's been explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that as Narayan, the four-handed form, Narayan or Vasudev, that the Lord's majesty overpowers his beauty. But that is Krishna, his beauty overpowers his majesty. So with Narayan, there's always awe and reverence. So that there's a limitation to the enjoyment of rasa. because awe and reverence puts limitations on intimacy. But only as Krishna does the Lord remove all sense of awe and reverence from the consciousness of the devotee. And here in Krishna you see the ultimate private life of God. God in His Narayan feature, or in His just as God, God means the control of the universe. He's an official. He's on the job. But Krishna is when He goes home. And He doesn't bother with being God. That's being going on by actually by His little expansion, a single fragment of Himself. That's what He says in Bhagavad Gita. With a single fragment of the Self, eka amsha, I pervade and maintain this entire creation. Everybody thinks God is great. Look, you know, He brings the mountains up, He creates the seas, He brings the seasons, you know. You read all these scriptures in the Bible, you know. He lifts up the hills, He... so on, you know. That's a single fragment. That God, that Almighty Creator, is a single fragment of Krishna, His super soul. So with Krishna, there are the much more intimate levels of dealings. So therefore, it is higher. It's also mentioned in their analysis that the Goswamis did. They could see that, say with Ramachandra, there's this, the sages at Dandakaranya forest, they saw him and they had feelings of conjugal love toward him, which could not be fulfilled, reciprocated. Lord Ramachandra, the Lord as Ramachandra, could not reciprocate. He was bound by monogamous ties to Sita. So to reciprocate, he had to do so in his form as Krishna, so they could take their birth again as gopis in Vrindavan. So these kinds of things are cited to show that Krishna has attributes and activities, qualities, relationships that are not shared in by the other his other features as Narayan or Vasudev and so on. Krishna is exclusively meant for love. So here there's these four exceptional qualities. His pastimes, they're described also in a little more detail. In Nectar of Devotion. When they talk about wonderful activities, they mean such things as the Rasa Leela performed by Krishna. Krishna is surrounded by loving devotees. Prabhupada said, when we speak of Krishna, Krishna is not alone. You can never think of Krishna as alone. Krishna means His name, His qualities, His fame, His friends, His paraphernalia, His entourage. All of these are included. Krishna is not... when we speak of a king, it is to be understood that he is surrounded by ministers, secretaries, military commanders, and many other people. Similarly, Krishna is not impersonal. So to be a person means to have relationships with other people. So you can't think of Krishna outside of his devotees. In his Vrindavan Leela, especially, is surrounded by the gopis, the cowherd boys, his father, his mother, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And then he plays on his flute. And then he has beauty that is not seen anywhere else. And these things are described in here. So this makes Krishna special and, as we say, supreme personality of Godhead. All others are His expansions or expansions of His expansion. So there's no one higher than Krishna. We take Him literally when He says this in Bhagavad Gita. There is no truth higher than Me. How does that begin? I can never remember the first word. Nobody knows. How does it?
There is no truth superior to Me.
Yeah, all things are strung upon Me as pearls upon a thread. And this, I just kind of like Mata Parantaram Nanyat Kinchirasti. Yeah. Mata. Beyond Me, there is nothing higher. Kinchitna Asti. There is nothing else higher than Me. And it's a simple statement. And then what is the import of the word Me? It's Krishna. You just take it like He says it, and then there's no problem. So this is the understanding that we have from Lord Chaitanya, the Six Goswamis, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is the original source, even though many people from India, even if they're Vaishnavas, they may think of Krishna as an incarnation of Vishnu, and sometimes He's described that way. But actually, if you understand the whole meaning of the Shastra, you see that He's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is why we like this name Krishna so much. Because this is God in His highest feature, person, private life. That's what's being disclosed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nowhere else will you see that. A disclosure. Without the coverings of awe and reverence being allowed there. Therefore, all attractive. More attractive than power, majesty, might, and so on. That's necessary for people who are still envious of God or have some competitive feelings to first of all understand how great He is. Once that's accepted, then one can go on and be admitted to a superior understanding about Krishna. That's why we worry so much about people. Prabhupada talks about people who go straight to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities crawling on all fours in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and especially enjoying in Vrindavan with the gopis. They go straight to that without having studied or passed through or understood the first other 9 cantos. Because then they take it cheaply. Here Krishna acts like an ordinary person. He puts aside all His weapons and symbols and all His big godlike features. And then people will take Him cheaply. Oh, Krishna is like an ordinary boy. An ordinary person. Therefore, I'm an ordinary person, therefore I'm God too, or God is an ordinary man. We're on the same level. So there's some protection for all this is in the first 9 cantos. So people go straight to it. Then they become sentimental and they become sahajas. Prabhupada said sahaja means they take everything cheap. Because they haven't surrendered to Krishna. The thing is that they... And you'll see this a lot in India. They're coming from the deities, they burst into tears, and then when they're finished they go outside and light a cigarette. So it's seen that this is what we call sentimental. It's not honest, because they haven't appreciated how great Krishna is. So therefore it's confidential, these higher pastimes. The only reason we know it, the only reason it's revealed to us, who are in so many ways unqualified, is by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His associates, the Panchatattva. Because it says that when Krishna descended, He brought with Him the storehouse of love of God, but it remained locked. It was a warehouse full of Krishna prema. When Krishna descended, it came too, but it was locked. That meant not very many people had access to it. You had to go through big security checks to get in. But that Lord Chaitanya's association broke the lock, tore open the doors, plundered the contents, and distributed it to everybody. That's why we have it here. Otherwise, this is the most secret knowledge of all the Vedas. People would only discover Krishna after many, many births and much trouble. They go higher, higher, up to Brahman realization, up to Super Soul, up to Narayana. Finally, you know, somebody would reveal to them the ultimate secret, right, about Krishna. So only later, when people are getting more fallen, does it get spelled out a little bit. It's made more explicit. Because people will not go through these long processes. They'll not be able to. And Lord Chaitanya doesn't just give it out to everybody to turn everyone into sahajiyas. No, he also gives the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the method by which even the dirtiest people can become purified and therefore qualified to understand what he's given. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does. But we have to take to the processes given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually understand and appreciate Krishna. We should understand everything about Krishna. All his different forms. His relationship with the material energy, his relationship with the internal potency, all his pastimes. Once we understand all this, who Krishna is, then we can never forget him. Okay, any questions? Yes.
You mentioned the jivas have 50-64 of the qualities of Krishna.
Yeah, pure. Yeah, when they're pure.
And I think you, if I recall correctly, you were mentioning that Brahman and Shiva have an additional 5 qualities, which would seem to put them on par or give them some sort of qualitative quality. But I thought that Shiva had some additional qualities over and above Brahma because Brahma is an ordinary jiva and Shiva was in an intermediate position.
Yes, but it does not mention here. It says both are shared by Brahma and Shiva. This particular discussion doesn't give Shiva any more than it gives to Lord Brahma. Because it's the, so far as I understand, that even though Brahma may be Jiva Tattva, that he's Shaktivesh Avatar, so he's empowered to act just like Krishna. He can do things that only Krishna normally, no jiva can normally do, because he's been empowered with super abilities. So that puts him on a level with Shiva for all practical purposes. That's the way I understand it. So the difference in tattva between them is negligible. Okay, Manasa Ganga.
One of the qualities of perfection of all is power. And does Krishna still have like more than Brahma because like he outweighed Brahma and Krishna book?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Brahma has all mystic power on the same level as Krishna, except when he wants to compete with Krishna. Then Krishna can always summon forth more. But for normal purposes, Brahma has the same mystic power as Krishna for dealing with the material world and doing his job. Yeah, but when he challenged Krishna, then he got defeated. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. Yes?
While you were talking about that it wouldn't necessarily go through the progression to perceive the, you know, the shastra from the beginning to the end, what about all the massive books?
All the what?
All so much, you know, so much books that we distribute in our airports, they're all over the place. Chaitanya Charitamritas and Srimad Bhagavatams, the last cantos of Bhagavatams, just for the sake, you know, to come back with $100 or with $80.
That question was asked to Srila Prabhupada. How can we do that? And I think it was asked. Anyway, the understanding was that Prabhupada said it was all right to do. I don't know, because they asked him. And he said, as long as the purports are there, so that people understand correctly, it's all right to do like that. But in the long run, we want people to get the whole thing and read them systematically.
Mm-hmm. Like, it seems that when somebody taking a book, if you don't represent if you don't represent the book with some particular correct attention or perspective that you give to the person with the book, you make him interested by your appearance, by your explanation, by your presentation, right? That person won't take the book as somebody else would take the book according to the just business exchange. So if that distribution will be formal, then these people take the book formal also. Mm-hmm. So my opinion was in Boston last time on Boston Marathon, right, there was distributed about $15,000 worth of books. Like people, they distribute books like, mm-hmm. I mean, there were so books out. But I was there a year and I didn't saw one new person coming to the temple. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that was bizarre. Mm-hmm. To me, and when I was asked about this, I was immediately like smashed away because it's like offense to distribute. I mean, there are people coming to the temple, but according to the fact that we live in Boston, which is a major study city for universities, and we distribute this in so large areas, and nobody shows up.
There's not going to be time for me to answer this question since it's going on for minutes and minutes and minutes. He's going to come out in a second. We have to stop. The point is that it's not enough just to distribute the books. You also have to cultivate the people that read them by gradual cultivation. So that's a bit of a problem. The books do go out. How many people actually read them? How many people learn anything? That we don't know. But Prabhupada has said very clearly, he said, if somebody just takes a book and reads one sentence, one word, his life will become perfect. That's what Prabhupada said. So somehow or other, it may take time for these seeds that are sown to yield the fruit. That's a fact. But we should still go on distributing books. We should do other things too. Ideally, we should know who gets the books. We should be able to call them back up again. We should stay in contact with them because it requires some cultivation of people. Oh, well, now you have you've read the first canto. Now here's the second canto. Sure, all that should happen. Maybe you can help organize it. There's more to be done.
There was a Hare Krishna Maharaj from
Germany. Just stop.